If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Galatians chapter 5 as we're continuing our series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. I've shared numerous times throughout this series that it's not a book by book, chapter by chapter series through the Bible, but really just an overarching look at the Scriptures as we seek to discover who God is and who He really desires us to be. And so today we're continuing and actually going to wrap up our time in Galatians this morning. If you've been with us through this, you know that Galatians is actually a letter that Paul wrote to the church there in the city of Galatia, a church that he had actually planted years prior. But after Paul had left the church there, some Jewish followers of Jesus had arrived and kind of began to challenge Paul's teachings. As they told these new believers there in Galatia that in order to be saved, they not only had to believe in Jesus, but they also had to keep the Jewish laws and customs as well. Laws like circumcision, many of the food laws that the Jews had observed for years, and these new rules about being followers of Jesus, they actually contradicted Paul's teachings when he started and planted the church there in Galatia. The fact that Jesus is all we need, right? That's what Paul preached. It's all about the grace of Jesus. It wasn't Jesus and the laws. It was the love and grace of Jesus, period. And so a good portion of Galatians is Paul sharing the truth of the gospel that he had preached years prior, and reminding them once again that they were saved by grace and grace alone, that our righteousness comes through our faith in Jesus, not by our works. And in the midst of this main message that Paul shares throughout this entire letter are these encouraging words of how we can truly experience the freedom that Jesus came to give. And we're going to look at some of those things this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as we're going to read Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And that's the end of the chapter there. We finish up with this morning. Paul wants us to know here in these scriptures that Jesus is calling us to a life of freedom. Freedom from the yoke of the law that the Jews were professing to the people of Galatia, that they were trying to tell them they needed to follow. But we have to remember, we are not slaves to the law, because we have been made free by the love and grace of Jesus Christ. But one of the things we need to realize is this: freedom does not mean absolute independence among ourselves, right? When we say yes to Jesus, we are free from the yoke and burden of the law, but we then take on the yoke of Jesus himself, which we're told in Matthew 11:30 is easy and light. Isn't that the kind of yoke that you want to take on, right? The one that's easy and light. A yoke that's much different than the yoke that these Jews were trying to force the Galatians to bear. And so Paul is encouraging them to give up that yoke which is too heavy and too burdensome for them, and to take on the yoke of Jesus that brings freedom and life. Because the truth is, we need Jesus to be our guide and our strength in this fallen, broken world. And in these scriptures, Paul's desire, I believe, is to help us find kind of that perfect middle ground that God has for us. Because we don't want to be bound by the law, right? But we also don't want to go the other direction and live a life of lawlessness, where we live life with the play now, pray later mentality, if you know what I'm talking about. Because I can tell you from my own experience, that road will ultimately lead to pain and destruction. And so Paul is encouraging us in these scriptures not to use our freedom to indulge in the flesh, but to use our freedoms to experience the life that God has for us, to overcome the flesh. And that is what I want to look at this morning. How do we experience true freedom? True freedom in Christ. And so the first thing I think we can learn from Paul here in these scriptures is this. Number one, true freedom is being free from sin to serve others in love. At the end of verse 13, he says, "Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." That the gospel of grace, it's a call from Jesus to come and to follow him. But before Jesus, we were slaves to sin. And Paul is saying, don't step out of one set of chains into another set of chains. Jesus set us free so that we could walk in his freedom and live the life that he's called each of us to live. He didn't set us free to indulge in the things of the flesh. The word flesh here is referring to our sinful nature, our desire to do things that are not of the Lord. Verses 19 through 21 highlight some of the acts of the flesh: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, right? Anything that falls in those categories. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is pointing out that Christian freedom is not the opportunity to sin freely without consequences. Because I think a lot of times, like, well, hey, it doesn't matter, right? I can sin, no consequences. That's exactly opposite of what Paul is saying here. Our grace is not to be used as a means to sin more. John Stott once wrote this: Christian freedom is freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Instead, Paul says that you were freed from sin so that we could be people of love. True liberty is not the privilege to do whatever one wants, but the privilege to do the will of God, which is to love God and to love others, right? Christian freedom is freedom to love, and therefore freedom to serve those around us. And the word used here for love in this verse is the word agape, right? Which is a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional kind of love. It's the kind of love that God shows us. It's the deepest and most powerful of the four types of love used in the Scriptures. And it is only possible for us to love with an agape type love by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. And the crazy thing is, when we learn to love and serve others in this way, we're actually fulfilling the law that the Jews were trying so desperately to follow, right? Listen to what Paul says in verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. When we use our freedoms to indulge in the flesh, then we're loving ourselves. We're putting ourselves first. But when we use our freedom to serve others, we are loving them, other people, and putting them first. This is God's desire for our life. But we cannot do it in our own power. Which leads me to my second point this morning, which is this. Number two, true freedom comes from the Spirit and not the flesh. In verse 16, Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now notice here that Paul, he gives a command and then a promise that comes if we follow that command. The command is to walk by the Spirit. Now to walk, it means to, you know, put one foot in front of the other, right? It's an action word that gives this idea of movement, moving forward. Now whether that's big giant steps or whether that's the what about Bob baby steps that you hear me talk about a lot from up here, right? My what about Bob theology. The key, it doesn't matter, big steps, little steps, the key is that we're taking those steps forward, that we're moving forward. And as Christians, we're called to continually and intentionally walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Not with how we want to move or where we want to go, but in step with the Holy Spirit. And the thing I've learned about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit doesn't just grab us and pull us along. Instead, we have to actually seek out the Spirit and allow the Spirit to guide us. And if we're people who are seeking the Lord and walking in the power of the Spirit, we then experience the promise that Paul talked about, that we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The problem is, oftentimes we are walking in our own power instead of in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's then that we fail. It's then that we fall into temptation and begin to gratify those things of the flesh, those things that are not of the Lord. You see, Paul knows that if the Galatians are trying to uphold the law, trying really hard not to fail and make mistakes, then the reality is they're going to fail and make mistakes because we can't overcome the flesh in our own power. I think this is why so many of us struggle with sins and addictions in our lives, because we go about things backwards. We try to be good, right? If I can just be good enough, if I can just do the right things, then God will be pleased with me, and maybe then I can finally overcome the sins and struggles. But the reality is, that's backwards. You know, the just say no mentality, it sounds nice, but it doesn't actually work. Because it's not about saying no to the flesh, it's about saying yes to Jesus. Right? We can say no over here again and again, but what do? We continue to do it. But when we begin to say yes to Jesus, He's the one that helps us to overcome the flesh. There's a big difference, right? between trying to do it on our own and saying yes to Jesus. Because it's about surrendering our will for His will. And that's difficult. It's extremely difficult. Look at what Paul says here in verse 17. He says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." You see, as followers of Jesus, we have a war waging inside of us. Because our flesh desires the things of the world, while the Spirit desires the opposite. This is why we have to walk by the Spirit, why we have to feed the Spirit, because otherwise we'll start walking towards the things of the flesh and feeding the things of the flesh. And let me say this. If you are feeling a war waging inside of you daily, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's actually a sign that the Holy Spirit is in you and trying to help you make the right decisions. Think about it. If you aren't saved, then you don't have the Spirit in you. If we're not saved, we don't have the Spirit in us. We only have the flesh. And so there isn't the war going on between the Spirit and the flesh. The war that wages within us is actually I think it's actually a sign of God's Spirit at work in us. Even amazing men like Paul experienced this struggle, right? It's what Paul was talking about in Romans 7:19 when he said, "I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway." I'm guessing Paul's the only one that deals with that, right? Paul. Right? No, we all struggle with that, right? And I know all of us would love for the Lord just to remove that desire of the flesh from us, right? The minute we get saved, don't we wish that, man, I get saved and boom, I have no more desires to do bad things. We would love for that to happen, but that's not the way it works. We live in a fallen, broken world. It's a sinful world that we live in, and so it doesn't work that way. But though He doesn't remove the flesh, He does provide a way for us to overcome it as He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit. And the question is, are we walking in that power? Are we experiencing the freedom that He desires to give us by using the Holy Spirit to overcome the desires of the flesh? When we step back and allow the Spirit to guide us, He becomes the controlling influence in our life. And He's the one that helps us battle against the things of the flesh, against these acts of sin that we read about here in verses 19 through 21. Because if you look at that list, it's a pretty extensive list that covers probably most of the gamut of sins, right, that we struggle with in the flesh. It talks from sexual sins to false religions, to sins of addiction and substance abuse, to sins of the heart and emotions that we experience. And it's interesting to me, Paul puts jealousy and selfishness, which I know none of you deal with, just me, but he puts those in the same class as idolatry and adultery, right? Sexual sins. These are all sins of the flesh, and we cannot overcome them on our own. The end of verse 21, Paul shares a little warning with the Galatians when he says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now let me just say this to hopefully encourage some of you as you hear that and you're like, "Oh, I struggle with some of these things." This warning isn't for those of us who struggle from time to time with some of the things on this list. As I mentioned earlier, we're all human. And there's a struggle that battles inside of us. And we're going to give in from time to time to the things of the flesh. We're going to be jealous at times. We're going to struggle in some of these areas and maybe some of the bigger ones as well too. But this warning is for those who continually and stubbornly live their lives in the flesh with no real desire to change or be changed. Because if we don't have the desire to change, and if there is no fight within us to live differently, then that's a good sign that His Spirit is not in us. And it's then that we need to fear those words of Paul. But if we've said yes to Jesus, then we have nothing to fear because we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we may fail at times, but we continue to seek and pick ourselves up and continue to move forward. And as we seek to walk by the Spirit, it's then that we begin to experience true freedom as He begins to help us overcome the things of the flesh. Amen. And then the final thing I want to share this morning is this. Number three, true freedom brings forth fruit, right? It produces fruit in our lives. The true sign that we are walking in the Spirit is when we start to look more and more like Jesus. You see, there's a big difference between the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. Let me read to you. I already read to you, right, the things of the flesh. Let me read to you the verses of the Spirit. In 22 and 23, again, it says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Aren't those words, when you read them, they're just kind of soothing, right? Don't we want that in our lives, right? These things that I just read are a lot different than the things of the flesh that we read earlier. And God's desire is that we would be people who begin to demonstrate this kind of fruit. Not the desires of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. And so the question is, how do we experience this kind of fruit in our own lives? How do we experience this freedom? Well, Jesus actually tells us in John 15:5 the secret to bearing fruit when He said this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." If we abide in Him, if we continue to seek to walk in the Spirit, if we continue to seek Him and seek to grow in the things of the Lord, then we will bear His fruit. I'm wondering, I think many of us have friends or family members that we're so close to, or we spend so much time with, that we begin to, you know, act like them, do things the way they do, you know, whether it's facial expressions or phrases they say or whatever, right? There are those things where we begin to imitate them at times and act like them and say those same things. And the fact is, the more time we spend with them, the more they rub off on us and us on them. And I think the same is true for us in our relationship with the Lord. The more time we spend in His presence, the more time we spend in His Word, reading, especially as we read through the Gospels and we read of the amazing things that His love, His grace, His patience, His kindness, when we read of Jesus and we see who He was, right? Not the God that a lot of times we think of, this God of wrath who wants to destroy everything. But when we see the compassionate, loving Jesus that is really in there, right? As we've gone through this series, as we've gone through these scriptures, we've found that from the very beginning, God has been a compassionate, gracious God. Sometimes we think the Old Testament God is different from the New Testament God. No, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. We see this compassionate, caring God. And when we dive through His Word and when we study these things, we begin to see who He is. And this transformation begins to take place in our lives from the inside out. And it doesn't come from trying to obey a bunch of rules. This is why after naming off the fruit in verse 23, Paul says, against such things there is no law. Because these things come from a transformation of our heart, not from external behaviors, not because we obeyed the law and did this and did that. It's because of our love for Jesus. And this kind of fruit can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Jesus came to bring freedom for all of us. And that freedom comes in a way that seems backwards to the people of this world, seems backwards to the average person, because that freedom comes by actually surrendering, right? I was in the Marines, and surrendering to me as a Marine did not mean freedom, right? It meant the loss of freedom. But with God, it's backwards. When we surrender to Him, we experience His freedom. It's not by following a bunch of rules and regulations, but it comes from following Jesus, by spending time with Him and allowing Him to transform us from the inside out. Because the more time we spend with Him, the more we begin to look like Him and we begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We begin to see more love, more joy, more peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is what true freedom looks like. And who doesn't want that kind of freedom in their life? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You so much for Paul and the words that he wrote as he spoke with boldness and spoke against, Lord, the lies that were being taught to the church there in Galatia. Lord, it's not about the law. It's not about the works that we do. It's about our faith and trust in You. It's knowing that You are the only one that can forgive sins. You are the only one that can bring righteousness to our lives, Lord. And so we are so thankful that we get to experience the freedom that You have for us, Lord. A freedom that seems backwards to the rest of the world, but Lord, a freedom that ultimately, as we surrender to You, allows us to fully experience Your freedoms, Lord. That in the midst of pain and suffering and difficulties, we can find peace. We can actually have joy, because our joy doesn't come from our circumstances. Our joy comes from Your Spirit. And so, Lord, we want to be people who operate in the power of Your Spirit. We want to be people who live by the Spirit and seek the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. And Lord, I know that we're human. And we have You in us, but there is still this desire to do the things of the world, to feed the things of the flesh. And so I just pray for all of us this morning that You would help us to seek You, to not do our best to not do things wrong, but to just do our best to love You and to seek You and the things of You. Because if we're seeking You and loving You and spending time with You, then we're going to naturally be able to say no to the things of the flesh. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul and the things that he teaches throughout Galatians, Lord. And we just want to continue. We want to continue to dive into your word and continue to allow you to speak to each of us. And so, Lord, my prayer for each of us this morning is that you would meet us right where we're at. As many of us are on different journeys and in different places along that journey, Lord, your desire is that we keep taking those steps forward and that we keep walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And so teach us, show us, Lord, wherever we're at, whatever place on this journey where we find ourselves, Lord, that you would meet us where we're at and give us that strength to just keep loving you, keep seeking you, and allowing you to transform us from the inside out, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We give these things to you. We give this word to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.